97 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Missy Setters from the Independence Bowl, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl joining us. Missy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, we're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us. We're getting closer. How's it looking?
Well, we'll know something Sunday as far as our matchup. Got to watch the championship games Friday and Saturday this weekend and see what happens there. And that will determine who we have in our bowl game this year.
Who's on your short list right now?
The list isn't that short. It's still pretty wide open based on phone calls yesterday. And I think looking at it right now, it looks like if Texas Tech wins the Big 12 championship game, we should have a Big 12 team, but there's still an outside possibility that BYU could get into the playoff even if they lose. So we're watching that. Look at the rankings when they come out tonight, the playoff rankings, and that'll be somewhat of an indication of what might happen. And then on the Conference USA side, that's still wide open too. So if we have a Big 12 team, I would look for probably Kansas State, possibly Cincinnati, and I think outlier might be Houston and TCU, but we're not so sure about that. We're just kind of hearing those things right now. And then on the Conference USA side, that's still pretty wide open. I think Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, Louisiana Tech, and possibly another one are in the mix on that side.
So out of all the teams that are in the mix, what would your ideal setup be?
I don't usually have that.
no you know, favorite children, huh?
No. And there's so many different possible scenarios. You know, looking at it, if Team A wins this championship game, how does that affect all of the trickle down from there and who the bowls are going to pick? And you look at which teams played in which bowl year and try to get an indication of what you think that bowl is going to do this year. So there's so many possible scenarios on matchups where you really don't pick a favorite.
Now, Tech was in the game last year. So would you go, we don't really want them, you know, to repeat that? Or would you go, no, we'd love to have Tech come back again?
You know, last year was an anomaly because of what happened with the team that wasn't able to field a team. Yeah. And so I think you have to take that into consideration, too. Tech also had to win their last two games, I believe, this season to get to 7-5, which was a strong finish. So I don't think you ever rule anything out when there's extenuating circumstances from the previous year.
Some of the teams that you mentioned, one Western Kentucky, maybe Cincinnati, as I hear you say those schools, I hate to say this on the air, but that sure don't sound sexy. You know what I mean? Are they going to bring a lot of fans? Are they going to bring a lot of money? Are those some things you have to consider too?
Yeah, what teams travel well?
Yeah, you do consider those. Now, the teams themselves they will spend a lot of money on the trip, and that's standard across the bowls. And so you look at Western Kentucky has a pretty good national name, so it's recognizable. You know, they've had good teams. And so you look at that. And with where we are in the selection order on the Big 12 side, it's probably going to be, you know, the team that's there for us is the team that we get. And because they have 7 qualifiers right now, they have 6 bowl partners after the CFP, after the playoffs. So you just got to look at the trickle down from there. And so I think it's looking at, you know, some years we've had a team that was somewhat regional and then a team that had a national name, and that worked out really well. And then other times you have 2 teams that are regional, and then we've had teams that there was nothing regional about it. So there's always the positives to find no matter what the matchup is. And those teams are coming here in the hotel minimum, and their bands are hopefully coming in. So there's a lot of trickle down economically from that, but you always hope that you get something regional so that you have easy fan travel. I know our game date being on Tuesday the 30th seems to be pretty conducive to fan travel this year based on what we're seeing in some of the podcast comments and some of the radio show comments and things like that. So hopefully that works in our favor, having a good travel day that's far enough away from Christmas that people can make the trip.
Tickets now, you can get them at the Independence Bowl's website, correct? And you've got family packages, you've got business, but you've got all kind of great deals. You just need to go check it out, right?
We do. We've got a lot. We've got group offers that we're working on right now, the family four pack. We have an ultimate fan experience that you can sign up for that's pretty cool. And one thing we need to add about the family four pack, in the past, the food was not available in the stadium. It is. So Pizza Hut will be providing the food in stadium. So if you've got a family of four or whatever you might be, it's a great deal. You feed your family, you go to the game, you have a great time. And so I think that improvement hopefully will mean a lot for us this year.
You just brought it, led into my next question for people traveling in and for locals that want to go and support the game. Tell us a little bit about the experience, like concessions and things like that, that are going to be available at Independence Stadium.
Yeah, we have quite a few local concessionaires this year. We're really excited about that. So you'll get a good feel for the cuisine that we have here. We've got great local partners that'll have their own concession stand set up, and then we'll have traditional concession or football food, I guess, stadium food there. So we've got a really good variety, the best that we've had in a long, long time, and we're happy about that. We appreciate the local partnerships. A lot of that is highlighted on our website, and so you'll see more about that in the coming days too. It's about supporting community. You know, it's a great opportunity to take your family out. We've got people that tell us, you know, I've been going to this game with my son or with my kids for the last 20, 30 years, and this is a family tradition. And so that's what we're trying to build on. The experience to us is very important, and we worked really hard in the last few years to try to improve that experience for people, as far as whether it's, you know, ingress to the stadium, egress after the stadium, the concession offerings that we have in the stadium. And there's something constantly going on during the game, too, entertainment-wise.
One more thing before we let you go. Sunday afternoon, you make your selections. Take me inside a baseball a minute. How does that work? Do you call the coach? Do you call the athletic director and make them an offer and they accept it on the phone? How does that happen? And what time Sunday?
Well, a lot of it starts to trickle down after the championship games, but then you can't fully do anything until those final rankings come out. That day is we have a selection committee that will be up here at a specific time, and then it's constant phone calls, constant emails, just working to see, you know, where do we think those playoff rankings are going to land, and then how does that work through the bowl system. Calling the ADs once we know who our teams are, calling the head coaches, officially inviting them, giving them a little heads up on what to expect, and then we've immediately got to get the teams in here usually on Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, and do their site visits where they go to the team hotels, they go pick out practice sites, we take them to the venues where we have all of the public events and the private events, and so it's a four days full of promoting our cities.
Missy Setters, executive director with the Independence Bowl. Missy, we appreciate it, and we'll talk again before the bowl.
Sounds good. Y'all have a great day.
Take care. You too. Mike and McCarty coming up after the break. Greg.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Somebody's going to have to drive this train today because it's not going to be me. It may not even be you.
It may not be me.
Ruben, might be you.
I got up. I was awakened at just after 1 o'clock this morning.
Oh, no.
My stomach cramps
were
so bad they woke me up.
Is it that time of the month?
I don't know. I think I've already passed that era.
Oh, have you? Okay,
life.
Good.
So,
okay, good.
I don't know if I had something. I don't know, but
I had for the first time in a long, long time 3 glasses of wine. 3
healthy glasses too.
Yeah. Wine is hydration, right?
No.
It's supposed to be hydration. It's not?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
Neither is coffee, really, but that's what I'm having.
I'm drinking my hot tea, but yeah, it was I needed a glass of wine last night for some reason. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to meet up with a couple of buddies and we're going to drink some wine, and that's exactly what we did. And then we flipped for the bill. How do I always lose that?
Was it their coin?
Well, I checked the coins first.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Yeah,
here we go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I checked the coin, but I lost, so I had to foot the bill, which is okay. I didn't mind, but I was I needed that. I needed to go drink a couple of glasses of wine, and it ended up being 3. So
how much was it?
The total bill was like $185.
Oh.
Yeah. I my friends are luscious. Is that the word? Yeah. I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, my friends are luscious. So yeah. No, we had a good time. It was nice. But I'm a little bit groggy.
There's a story on Keel News right now about Aaron. Is this happening? A data center in West Shreveport?
It's something that we've heard rumblings. You know, we've heard these rumblings. Justin Dixon was in here not too long ago, and there was a little bit of rumblings. He couldn't say anything.
Right.
Everybody's
That's
under
true.
An NDA.
Yeah. Right.
And they can't say anything. But now there is an agenda item on today's MPC meeting that is talking about a special use permit for this complex. So now kind of the cat's out of the bag, sort of. But we don't know who it is. The one in Richland Parish, Meta, is going
Meta,
in. Yeah,
right.
And that one's a little bit bigger than this one. But this one was going to be
More than a little. It's,
yeah.
It's double the size of what the projection here.
This one here, though, has gone from 1 million square feet to almost 3 million.
Oh.
So this one is
okay.
going to be pretty big,
I was thinking
too.
Two, so if it's closer to three, then because the one in Richland Parish is like 4 million.
I think so. So
yeah.
The question, though, is, and I'm going to call the SWEPCO people this morning, because are they prepared for the energy demand that such a data center requires? I mean, they're putting in, Entergy is putting in two or three new plants to make sure.
And is the city prepared for the water demand that these have?
Is that even in the city limits? That's a good question.
Huge water demand, like a million gallons per day.
Good
to
question.
Cool all this equipment.
Hmm. Hmm.
So there's a lot of equipment. And there's an article on keelnews.com where Liz Swain did a lot of research with The Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that are going, okay, yeah, jobs are great, but this sounds like a jet engine 24 hours a day that never takes off.
Mm.
A huge lawnmower right next to your house running all the time.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of people that are not happy.
Well, Greg Adams has been doing some work on this, and mm-hmm. he's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so to kind of unravel what he's been digging up. Is SWEPCO ready? Will the water system be prepared? Are we ready for that? And there's a Cameron Henry, the Senate president, we have some clips from him talking about the Richland Center, and he said these data centers end up increasing our energy costs.
I was just about to say, is it going to raise our electricity
Absolutely.
Rates?
Absolutely. That's what's happening. And they created a task force to try to offset that, to make sure the data center companies are footing that bill and it's not passed on to us.
Right.
Because
a lot of questions.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions. So we'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes.
And I don't want to be one of those cave people. I don't want to be a naysayer that's just against everything. And I think I've shown that I'm not. But the story did bring up a lot of interesting questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you go,
Mm-hmm.
So Greg will join us in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Is Shreveport getting a new data center? Greg Adams has a story on keelnews.com. He's going to join us next after the break. Give us the latest details. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, you can check out the deets on 710keel.com. Greg Adams on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. A new data center possibly coming to West Shreveport. Greg, is this really going to happen?
Well, I think that will be decided by the people of Shreveport, hopefully more than anything.
How do we get a say?
Well, today there's going to be an MPC meeting. Unfortunately, these meetings, for whatever reason, take place at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So very inconvenient for those of us who have jobs and careers to be able to have a say in this type of thing. But there will be a conversation today for a special use permit for a 2.8 million square foot data center on the west side of Shreveport.
Now, we were hearing the early rumblings, and there was some people that were leaking info that it was going to be a 1 million square foot. It's almost tripled in size, correct?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So back in September, Liz Swain, actually, Shreveport Bossier Advocate, has done a ton of work on this.
Yes.
She's actually brought a lot of it to light. So back in September, it was like, hey, rumblings, but everyone's dealing with this right now. Cities across the U.S. are hearing this type of thing. Big data center planning to come in. Big data center planning to come in. So back in September, it was like, yeah, all right, roll your eyes, whatever. Now it's actually moved to the point of special use permit. And as they're filing paperwork, it's, oh, here's a 2.8 million square foot facility.
Mm. Now we know in Richland Parish, it's a Meta Center. Do we know anything about who this one is?
No, this one is NDA'd out of its mind. Non-disclosure agreements all over the place, which is pretty, I mean, that's pretty concerning when...
Wouldn't it be funny if the company coming in was NDA?
Yeah. But like, that's just where we're at right now, because we are in a position across the U.S. where we have seen what these data centers are. Previously, like when the Richland Parish one was announced, we didn't really, the data centers were just finishing in places like Virginia and Colorado and Texas. So we really didn't know what we were dealing with. But now we've got years under our belt, or at least a year of these data centers being active in these communities. So we actually know what they do and what they're about, not just the lip service that you get from the companies who are intending to build them, but from people who are actually living in the communities with them. So now the attitude around these have pretty much changed when it comes to the public perception in these local communities, because they know it's going to be loud. It's going to be a difficult thing right now. In Richland Parish, they're already dealing with issues with that construction where it's causing a whole bunch of road issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to suck up a bunch of water, and all of our electrical bills will rise. And that's not all hypothetical. Those are things we're seeing in all the places that have data centers now.
Yeah.
So all of these places, instead of coming right out the gates and saying, it's Meta, everybody get excited, now they're being quiet. Now they're being silent. They're hiding information. They're NDA'd because they don't want the backlash that they know these things are going to bring.
I know if anybody researches stuff, great, it is you. And I'm looking at now the Senate President, Cameron Henry, has created a task force to make sure Louisiana has enough power to provide the electricity for everyone. And he says energy costs are going up nationwide, and it's these data centers that are driving it. Why aren't the energy costs passed on to those companies? Why are they passed on to us?
Well, just like a hurricane.
It's the overall demand.
We as Louisiana know better than pretty much any other state, with the exception of maybe Florida, that when something occurs, when something needs to be fixed, repaired, or increased, the companies don't pay for it. We pay for it. Mm. Even if it's a hurricane that comes on shore and destroys a whole bunch of old infrastructure that should have been replaced years ago, they're not just going to rebuild it and take that out of their profits. We pay surcharges on that. This is going to be no different.
But how does a data center pass those charges along? We're not using that, are we?
It's the... Energy is a finite resource. Imagine we all have one big fuel tank. And as we start to drain that fuel tank, now we have to get more. And the more that occurs across the United States, the more demand for that fuel now exists. So what happens with supply and demand? We end up paying more for it. So as these data centers draw down our fuel tank of available energy, now that little bit of energy you need suddenly costs more because there's less available. This 2.8 million square foot data center projected for West Shreveport will require the power of 16,000 homes every single day.
Okay. Entergy just broke ground this week on two new power plants in Rayville to support that data center. Do we anticipate that SWEPCO will have to build new power plants just for this data center? Do we know anything about that yet?
We don't know. The only thing that we know is that this NDA company that refuses to identify itself has apparently talked to SWEPCO, and SWEPCO said that, yeah, you can get right on our grid. Now, as we discussed earlier, being in Louisiana, we know how this works. When two new power plants are being created and built from the ground up, who pays for those?
Yeah, good question.
I have a feeling there's going to be some extra surcharges that get added to some bills for new infrastructure, new power plant surcharge, upgraded power grid surcharge. It's the same thing that we've already seen. That's why I'm so interested that people are not looking at what is already happening.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not looking at where these data centers already exist, not looking at what we already know from what happens when a power plant needs to be replaced or repaired, being Louisiana residents. We have all the evidence and all the proof. We know how this system works, and we're burying our heads in the sand in a lot of cases.
And Greg, another side of that coin is the water demand.
Yes.
They need like a million gallons a day to cool this equipment. This is in the city limits. Is the city prepared? And what's that going to do with to our water, our water and sewage bill?
The city can say they're prepared and everything, but I've lived here long enough to know this is a dilapidated, outdated, falling apart infrastructure. If you start asking that to overtax itself, you might say right off the bat, like, oh, yeah, we'll be able to take care of this. We'll be able to handle this. We're talking about an infrastructure that struggled for a decade to be able to bill correctly, and people still think that the bills aren't being done correctly. When we have a cold snap, we lose water service to a half of the city at minimum. So now we're going to say that we can just tap a data center into that and it's going to be cool? That just seems like it's a little fairy tale.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll be watching that MPC meeting today and see the beginning of this process. I know you'll be watching, too. Thanks for all the work you did on this. And also, we want to tip our hat to Liz Swain. She did a lot of great work on the Shreveport-Bossier Advocate. Thank you, Greg.
Yep.
Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty coming up after the news, top of the hour. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
We don't have the electricity to waste on these stupid data centers. Remember the two major outages that took place last spring in Bossier Parish?
Oh, boy.
And that was just because something might have caused a problem? We don't need to save dead grandma's Facebook account in perpetuity. Okay.
Greg added to
That's a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
We needed to add this, too, because Greg didn't get a chance. We were up against the clock. He didn't get a chance to talk about the jobs in this whole deal. He said the long-term job creation. Listen to this. Give me a figure. What do you think?
Well, I have no idea. I couldn't even begin to make an educated guess.
This, to me, is
500
shocking.
500 people? I don't know.
The long-term job creation is likely to be in the dozens.
Wow.
And for a project this big that draws this much from the city, the job creation is probably a net loss. That's not good. And again, we don't have any of the detail yet about who it is, how many jobs,
right.
You know, when they're going to start
any construction.
I still think
it's hilarious if the company is called NDA.
It would be good. I'm thinking of who runs big data centers like that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Google and Meta and I don't know. Facebook.
Does Amazon have data centers places?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just know that Meta is the one in Richland Parish. And like I just said earlier, Entergy is now building two brand new energy plants or whatever they call them. And they're doing that so that they can have enough to provide the energy. But our state is now set up a task force to talk about whether or not we have enough power for everyone and what needs to be done to address that, because we haven't, again, I'm going to reach out to SWEPCO today too to to see if they can give us some more information about what is your plan, what is your involvement. Again, NDAs are signed, so I don't know how much they can say.
Right.
But we could ask SWEPCO, if our area were to get a data center, what would SWEPCO have to do? Can we ask that?
Sure, you can ask. No, you can ask.
That's not giving details about who's coming, what is going to be, and all that. And we all know it's on the agenda for the MPC today. It'll be a must-see TV for folks who care about this kind of stuff.
Bay Rat from Bossier City says, beware what you wish for on these data centers. Research people that live near these things. Their electrical bills are sky high. That's disturbing. Yeah. And if you're only getting a couple dozen jobs out of the whole thing.
Yeah. Where we're sitting right now, we're not too far from it. It's across the freeway and 10 blocks or so down. It's not far away.
Really?
Not far away. 7300 Greenwood Road. That's where it is, if you're wondering. That's the proposed site. So, FYI, if you live out in the Greenwood area or in West Shreveport, I think the site is actually in the city limits. So, we'll see.
But now, will it raise prices for people in South Shreveport or just in within the area near where it is?
I don't know. The Cameron Henry, the Senate president, says it raises prices for everyone.
Right.
That's paying for electricity.
And that would tend to make sense to me.
I don't know why that didn't just pass. Make the company pay for that.
Right.
Make them pay for their energy use. And I pay for mine.
Right.
You know? I don't understand that.
We're going to have to ask that question because I agree with you.
Yeah.
Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor, joining us after the news, top of the hour. And we've already got some questions for him on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
Ooh, people are mad at him today.
Yeah. And believe me, those of you who have sent that in, we've got the same question.
You bet.
We've already got it on our list. 1017 FM, 710Keel.com. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, my friends. How you doing?
Well, we're doing very well. We've got a lot of things we want to talk to you about, but let's get this out of the way first. One of our messages that came across our message board. And let me quote this directly. Ask Billy Nungesser why he sent a proclamation to those two British guys making them ambassadors for the state of Louisiana after they trashed Shreveport on the internet for the whole world to see. That's the quote.
I didn't see the video on Shreveport. I saw the other 50. Well, not all of them, but I saw many of the videos they did all over Louisiana, which got a lot of positive exposure. I understand the video for Shreveport, where they got a really bad experience at a hotel there when they first came into Louisiana.
Yeah, some say they picked the flea-baggiest hotel on purpose and took video of it, claiming, well, this is horrible, but now look what we found in Lake Charles, and it was all a promotion for this
casino.
Well, I don't know the contents of how they got there and came. What I'm hopeful is that, you know, we've invited them back to Friday Mardi Gras. Hopefully we can get them to come back to Shreveport and talk about all the good things that go on in Shreveport. I just went through a similar situation with a group from out of town, stayed in a hotel in New Orleans, had a laptop stolen. The manager said, there's nothing I can do. Found out 10 other people had stuff stolen out of their rooms. So I'm dealing with the owners of the hotel that are out of town that this is not a good message. We had a similar thing in Natchitoches with some problems with the hotel there. And I got to work with our convention and visit bureaus to maybe make sure these hotels are not portraying a bad image for our cities, because, you know, that's a big part of anybody's stay, and try to get these hotels that are not up to par to clean up their act and either that or sell them and let someone else take and renovate them. But yeah, I was made aware of it. after the fact. And I'm sorry that happened. And hopefully we can get him back.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice places in Shreveport we can put them up. The Remington downtown is a locally owned luxury hotel that's beautiful, as are others in town.
Absolutely. And I'll convey that if I get a chance to meet them when they come back for Mardi Gras, and hopefully get them up there. I'll make that personal pitch, because you're right. They do have a lot of followers, and they did portray a lot of great things all over Louisiana that have people going to those sites wanting to visit there. So we got a lot of great publicity. I'm sorry that happened, and hopefully we can fix it and get some positive publicity going forward.
We have great events in our area for Christmas. We have Natchitoches. We have the Rose Center. We have the Lumiere private park in DeSoto Parish. So much is happening for the holidays all over the state, but our area has so much to offer. Folks need to come visit, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we do every holiday season is we do a lot of social media posts about all the, rockets over the Red River Firework Fest. You're right, Christmas in Roseland, all those things we promote and push out. And we start early on because we want Louisianans, as I did, invited my wife's family from Texas to come spend Thanksgiving, spend a week here, do your Christmas shopping here, rather than getting that traffic or fight the airport and leave town. We want Louisianans to invite their family and friends to come in from out of town and spend the holidays here in Louisiana. And I tell you, Stacy does a great job with the convention or her team in helping promote all these special celebrations during the holiday seasons to make that happen. So, we do have so many great things going on through the holidays.
Is Natchitoches still, Billy, is it still the number one holiday attraction in the state?
I don't know that. That's a good question. I know it's a big draw. I've ridden in the Christmas parade. I've gone up several years and turned on the lights, and I was amazed at the people from all over the world that I met there during Christmas holidays, because, they do a great job at decorating, and that old hardware store that's been in the same family 100 years, has unbelievable Christmas decorations. And it's been a big draw. I don't know if it's still number one, but I know it's getting visitors from all over the world for Christmas.
Independence Bowl. You have to know that's, to have that bowl game in our community, December 30th, it's a good time this year. How big is that for Louisiana? We get a lot of national publicity on the TV broadcast.
We do, and we get a lot of, hopefully we'll get some good teams that will bring a good following. We've been very lucky to have that happen in the past. We want a team that has a good following to fill up the hotels and spend money in the region. It is a great opportunity to not only promote the area nationally, but also to bring some economic benefit to the area. So it's something we're going to promote. And really do our best job to fill the stands and also fill the hotels for that weekend.
Yeah, they have the opportunity to do visit Shreveport-Bossier videos that really show Shreveport-Bossier in a great light on a national scale.
Absolutely. Look, we are going around this year. We're promoting the great outdoors of Louisiana. As a matter of fact, we ended out our year of food with our Rose Parade float, which the theme is teamwork, and we're promoting it takes a great team to build a pot of gumbo, from the crops that come out the ground to the seafood, to the spices, to the chefs, to the restaurants. Mike Strain will be riding on the float. He'll be out there in California doing interviews with me all over the world, talking about all the great products we grow, produce, and package here in Louisiana, not only promoting tourism. And we'll have a big pelican stirring that pot of gumbo, talking about the crawfish, the seafood. So it's a great opportunity to end the year of food that we're promoting all over the world with that float this year. And then we roll into next year promoting the great outdoors of Louisiana. I tell people you can fish anywhere, but you catch fish in Louisiana. our mountain bike trails, our state parks, the Atchafalaya Basin, Toledo Bend, all the great parks and outdoor canoeing activities, hiking. We've got a new bird trail that we're promoting. People are going all over the world bird watching. It's become really big. We're launching a new bird trail. So we're really going to make an effort to let the world see Sportsman's Paradise this year and promote the great outdoors of Louisiana. And surely there's great opportunities across North Louisiana.
That brings up my last question. I just got a text from folks at Caddo Parish that said, Billy is coming to the grand opening next month of our Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park, $20 million facility that's going to have an exhibit hall, all kinds of hands-on stuff for children in the great outdoors. That's going to be a huge plus for our area, correct?
It really is. Those are the kind of things. You know, when you look at an area, you look at cleanliness, crime, and new attractions. And those are the things that we have focused on in every area of the state. That's why I took over Keep Louisiana Beautiful 3 years ago, because we had a very dirty state. We're making great progress. We still got a long way to go. But promoting these new attractions that give us a new tool in our toolbox to bring new people and bring people back to an area are so important. And that's a huge tool in our toolbox, especially as we promote the great outdoors of Louisiana. So it's perfect timing. We're looking forward to that and using that tool to get people to move around North Louisiana and visit North Louisiana.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Thump those Brits in the head when they get here, all right?
I will. I'm going to bring them to meet you. You'll take care of them.
I will take care. Oh, yeah.
Bring them up here. We'd love to have them on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
I'll do my best to get them on, my friend. Y'all have a great day.
Always a pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, Mike and McCarty. Coming up in about 20 minutes from right now, we're talking about the new data center in West Shreveport. Correction, the possibility of a new data center in West Shreveport. Michael Corbin with SWEPCO going to hopefully answer some of our questions. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Ruben, yesterday we were in here and off mic, you said, oh, my. It looks like what Shreveport Regional Arts Council, that you said this is an AI image.
Well, so I had noticed a couple of nights before, you know, I was off for a little while. So I'd been doom scrolling on Facebook for a while.
Yep.
And I started seeing
I started seeing
screenshots from a bunch of my artist friends. I'm in the music scene, so therefore I know a ton of artists in this area. And a lot of them were posting screenshots from SRAC, Shreveport Regional Arts Council, for this cookie competition at Art Space.
Okay.
And the images, well, one of them was a plate of cookies and another one was a little girl eating a cookie. And both of the images are AI, and it's obvious. And so there was a lot of backlash coming from local artists who were like, hey, I'm a photographer, or I'm a painter, or I'm a this,
that,
or the other.
I
make decorative cookies. I would have loved to have been featured on this promotional thing. Why is the Shreveport Regional Arts Council using AI art?
So, because the Shreveport Regional Arts Council's mission is to promote local art, right?
Local art. That's my understanding.
Me too.
Right?
Me too.
So
it's
of course,
Shreveport Regional Arts Council.
Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of people up in arms about it, and SRAC wasn't really saying anything, and it kind of got to a point with a few of the artists who were really vocal about it that they blocked them.
Oh, no. They were blocking people on social media?
They were blocking people on social media for calling them out about this.
Oh.
So
wow. Not a good look.
A day or so goes by, and then they post another image for Brunch with Santa, where they use an AI image of Santa.
Oh, no.
And this is after the backlash.
Now, take it from a professional Santa. I'm offended.
Right, yeah. They could have hired you for the photo. You know, it's weird. It's a really weird choice for the Shreveport Regional Arts Council to be using AI art to promote anything. They have a ton of local artists at their disposal, and really, the consensus is they should have hired somebody. They should have used a local artist, a photographer, a painter, something.
They sent out a statement yesterday, I think, on their, and I actually reached out to the executive director of SRAC, and I have not heard back. But I think they sent a statement out saying that they, something about...
It basically says they've undergone some major changes, and they're working to promote several events, and something, they said basically it slipped past their radar.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like they're changed. They're going to change, and they're going to do better.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, hopefully they got the message, because...
I hope.
AI art... We have tons of local artists here.
Because I sure don't want to change their name to Shrake. Shreveport Regional AI Council.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, will a new data center raise your electricity rates? Michael Corbin with SWEPCO joins us right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline from SWEPCO, the Vice President of Grand Poopah of Operations. Michael, I blow it every time. What's your title?
I'm sorry. I was just taking the crown off my head and setting it on the desk for the interview.
I know, right?
No, External Affairs Manager for SWEPCO.
Thank you. I don't know why that. Anyway, look. There's a reporting that possibility of a 2.8 million square foot data center on Greenwood Road within the city limits. Opponents are saying, look, this raises the rates of everybody, the electricity rates. What say you, sir?
Well, there is a lot of rhetoric out there about a possible development that could be coming to the Shreveport-Bossier area. So let me kind of set the stage. Today, the Metropolitan Planning Commission will likely approve, hopefully approve, staff's recommendation that a parcel of land in West Shreveport be available for use as a data center if, in fact, the data center becomes interested in that project. This is in Resilient Technology Park off Greenwood Road, and it's a purpose-designed technology park, you know, just for things such as data centers and technology-related economic development. AEP, our parent company, made a $100 million investment there initially a few years ago with a large facility that we refer to as our transmission control center. And this park and the infrastructure that's there is perfect for new technology development. Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that no company is currently looking, but we're just maybe opening the door for a company to look?
I think it's safe to say that the applicant wants to make sure that all bases have been covered.
Oh, so there is an application.
So, no, the applicant of the MPC piece of legislation, the applicant who's submitted that to the MPC to say we would like to use this for a data center if that opportunity becomes available. I think the applicant, the landowner, is covering their bases. So if something pops up, they're ready to move quick and there's no approval hurdles in the way, because what we see nationwide is economic development projects as a whole, and certainly data center projects, move at a different speed. They move quickly, and if there are hurdles in the way, there's always other places they can go and look.
SWEPCO folks, have y'all signed an NDA with regard to this?
We have a lot of economic development projects underway right now, and there are NDAs on most of those.
Okay. Mike's question to you earlier, I'm not sure if you answered it. And the Senate President Cameron Henry says energy prices typically go up and have been going up nationwide, and one of the driving forces is the consumption of power, I'm quoting, by data centers. And energy prices are going up for everyone. Is that in the SWEPCO wheelhouse?
I'm not sure that I would agree with his statement there. We are fortunate that Louisiana has the second lowest energy prices in the United States, and that includes us here in Northwest Louisiana with SWEPCO. So that's a great thing. You know, nobody wants the price of eggs or electricity to go up, and we get kind of crazy when they do. So what we believe, and Entergy, our friends at Entergy are already seeing this with the Richland Parish project, is because the load and the payment to the electric company will be so high for the additional electricity that's needed, then that spreads out any of the other cost of operations to customers, mm-hmm. and may actually lower rates for customers.
Now they're building two new power plants in Rayville. I think Meta is actually going to pay for them. Would SWEPCO need new power plants to accommodate a facility of this size?
That's really to be determined. We are constantly looking at how we can modernize our generation fleet, be more efficient, and more respectful to the environment. So that's constantly underway. But if we landed a project in the SWEPCO service area that was anywhere near as large as the Meta project in Richland Parish, I think it would be safe to say that we would be adding some additional generation.
Well, I've got a question, Michael Corbin, with SWEPCO. If my next door neighbor is running a garage, he's not, I'm just hypothetically, and he's got lifts and running a lot of equipment and running an AC unit back there, and he's using a lot of power, that doesn't make my electric bill go up. He's using that power. So how does a data center make other people's electricity bill go up if they're the ones paying for the power that they're using?
Look at it like this. If we are constantly upgrading our systems, building resiliency into the grid, if needed, adding new generation for electricity, and that cost comes back to the customer. So there's two things that could happen. We could have an influx of 50,000 people move to Shreveport, build new houses using power, and that's spreads those costs across a larger customer base, or we can pick up 1, 2, 3, 4 large industrial users who would be the equivalent of another 50,000 people coming in.
Put on your old city council hat for just a moment.
It doesn't fit.
You threw that away, didn't you?
Okay, it's in.
Will there be concerns about the water supply for a facility like this? I mean, we know our infrastructure for our water is
taxed at best.
Yeah, a lot of work. Is that probably a bigger concern?
You know, there's a lot of stories out there that data centers go through hundreds of thousands of gallons of water a day. They've gotten much more efficient with their cooling. With how they cool, and they basically run a closed system. So once their system is charged, they're recycling a lot of the same water. There's not a lot of water loss. But I would expect if there were some opportunity for a data center or a large user that needed water, that they would be having those conversations with the city as well.
I assume you guys will be at the MPC meeting today to kind of see what happens?
I will be there, yes.
Okay. Well, we will be in touch. It could be a big deal for our area, but we want to make sure that it doesn't impact everybody in a bad way.
Well, that's right. And, I think that the our regulators, the Public Service Commission, who, if a project like this moved forward, that's really where final approvals and discussions about electrical use and electrical need would come from. They have a long history of doing things that are right for the customers.
Michael Corbin with SWEPCO. Look, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate your candidness.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, and hope to see you soon.
You too, sir. Is that a word, candidness? Is that?
Maybe so. Now it is.
It is now. You know, I communicated my meaning, right? Tim Temple, Louisiana Commissioner of Insurance, going to join us after the news top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I have to ask you about, and I'm going way off topic here.
Go ahead.
Because we're switching gears.
All right.
LSU is paying three head coaches.
Yep. Yep.
Is this just for the month of December? Are we going to get things paid off?
Got to get them all paid. Yeah, got to get them all paid.
Gravy maybe.
By the way, there's an interesting piece at KeelNews.com I've been working on for a little while about all the Louisiana players that are on the Ole Miss roster. A couple of them committed to LSU and then changed.
Committed to who?
Bite me. Excuse me. Sorry. We have guests in the studio.
It's not LSU.
LSU. LSU.
Thank you.
You better. And then they decided they wanted to go play for Lane Kiffin.
Okay.
So they decommitted, a couple of them decommitted from LSU and went to play for the Rebels. One of them being Devin Harper, who played here at Calvary. He's a freshman O-line. He was like a three-star or four-star recruit, played at Calvary, again, like I said. And right now, his O-line coach is still at Ole Miss. He's still on their website. I mean,
Was he not one that Lane brought over?
He wasn't yet, but there's some speculation Lane might still grab a few of them. Right now, he hadn't been scrubbed from their website. So will those kids from Louisiana decide, I'm going to follow Lane?
Now, also, real quick, in the last 20 seconds, I heard he said Charlie Weiss could go back to Ole Miss and coach during the playoffs.
Charlie Weiss has been scrubbed from the Ole Miss site. They're not taking him back.
How are they going to let him back because he's now an LSU coach?
They won't let him back. They won't. Ole Miss is not going to let him back. He's gone. They've already wiped him off.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
They've those guys that got on those planes. Before the wheels were up, they were wiped from that website.
Right.
They were gone.
Donezo.
So I'm watching those Louisiana players, though. Let's see if they follow.
Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple joining us after the news top of the hour. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty in studio, Louisiana Commissioner of Insurance, Tim Temple. First of all, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for driving all the way up here just to come in and talk to us.
Hey, look, I love being in North Louisiana. I love Shreveport. You know, this is where I actually started my insurance career back in 1994 with Shreveport.
Wow. Very
well,
cool.
Well, the question everybody wants to know, while we've got you in here, let's start with, are our rates coming down for auto insurance?
Look, we are starting to see that develop. Yes, is the answer for some policyholders. We've recently announced three companies that are taking rate decrease. One of those companies took, I think it was a 7.8% decrease, and that's a statewide average. That doesn't mean everybody is going to see that number, but say a 7.8% decrease, that impacted about 40,000 policyholders, about 80,000 vehicles. We've recently had, just 2 weeks ago, two additional companies taking, I think, a 12% decrease and a 15% decrease. And that's going to impact another 12,000 policies. So we are trending in the right direction. And Mike, I think it's important to say that the reason why, there's two factors that the insurance industry has indicated, those companies. One, they're seeing fewer claims than they forecast for this current policy period. So, and Aaron, we were talking about that earlier about some of the factors about, you know, are the roads safer or the less accidents, that kind of thing. So they saw fewer claims than they forecast, which allows them, when they don't pay as much in expenses, then that allows them to charge less in premium the following year. So that's where that competition works. The other is that they are acknowledging that Louisiana is starting to address some of the issues we have in our marketplace, our legal environment. We, you know, worked with the legislature this past year, and we were able to get some bills passed, and the industry's beginning to acknowledge that that will have an impact in the future. So they're hedging a little bit, if you will.
Well, you say they're seeing fewer claims. In my cynical mind, you know, I think of a temporary tax. Well, this is just a temporary tax. Well, there's no such thing. Is a company really going to charge less because they're not paying out as much?
They're doing it. They're doing it now. I mean, look, we see the data. They have to actuarially justify the rates that they ask for. And then we vet and make sure they meet the, you know, that the math works and that they meet the regulatory and legal requirements of the state of Louisiana. And it's proving out. But again, in a competitive free market system, you know, equate it to the gas station. If the station across the street lowers their price by 10 cents and you still want customers coming in and buying gas from your gas station, your choices, you either lower the price or you provide a better service so that they're willing to pay more for that. That's the same with insurance. I mean, when companies lower their premiums, they still want, they want you. And if you move your business, they've got to do something to keep you. So
too
it will
many
work.
People, too many people, though, get caught in their brain. I've always been an Allstate customer. I've always been a State Farm customer. And you stick with those folks. You've told us before, and it sounds like you're preaching it again today. Shop. Go look.
Shop your insurance. That is the... Always. In a good market, in a bad market, it doesn't matter. Always shop your insurance. I mean, be proud of what you have. Be proud of your home. Be proud of your auto. Make sure that people are competing for your dollars, your hard-earned dollars. And shopping your insurance is the best way. Call your agent. Get them to work. I mean, look, they make commission. You know, they're paid for this. So we're not asking agents to do something that they aren't compensated for. But get them to shop your insurance and get you the best price out there. And it works.
Mm-hmm. I had State Farm for 40 years because when I started driving at 15 back in the day, you get your Dromleben at 15. It was a family friend who was an agent. Anyway, that changed. I shopped and I changed after 40 years.
And look, yesterday we did a pop-up, which I want to talk about a little bit about when we get some time. We did a pop-up office in Lake Charles yesterday and they're doing it again today. There was a gentleman that came in, and he could have saved $2,000 switching his insurance, but he wanted to stay with the company he's with. Mm-hmm. He's happy with the service. He's happy with the agent.
Wow.
He'd had a claim after Hurricane Laura. They handled it properly. He was okay, but he made that decision, but did it
with
knowledge.
And it was worth it to him.
Right. He did shop. He got other quotes, and he's like, you know what? I'm okay paying more because I'm happy with the company and the service I get. But he did it with eyes open, if you will.
And
I think that's important, though. I mean, you have that option when you go shop, and you may want to pay more. You like who you do business with.
Can we take a break? I want to talk about the pop-ups. I also want to talk about what else do we need to do legislative-wise in the spring to help this momentum continue to build.
Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
In studio, Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple, Mike and McCarty. Tim, we were talking a moment ago about these. You were in Lake Charles for a pop-up event. Now, this is really cool. You don't have offices across the state, but you're trying to reach out directly to the people. Tell us about these pop-up events.
Yeah, you know, Mike, we have, you know, our location is in Baton Rouge. It's where all the people that work at the Louisiana Department of Insurance. And we do have people that come in from time to time, local, you know, Baton Rouge area that want to come in and sit down face-to-face. So this year after...
With questions
about their insurance.
Right.
Or a claim that they're having. Or they just want to talk and understand and learn more about the product that we all buy. After the end of session, we don't have any satellite offices. And so I talked with, you know, the people I work with, the deputy commissioners, and said, let's create a process so that we go out into the communities, we set up temporary offices, and you know, we just did the first one yesterday in Lake Charles. We were at the City Hall. They gave us some space, and we had several members from the departments, co-workers there, and they were there, you know, and I was there yesterday morning at 6 a.m., but we were there till they were there yesterday, and they'll be there today from like 8:30 to 4. Anybody that wants to come in, if you've got a question about your a claim, an active claim you've got, if you bring your policy and you just want to understand some of the terminology, if you want to come in and talk about your premium and understand things that you can do to maybe lower it, that's what we're there for. You can do all of that over the phone, but I find the interaction is much more important. That's why I'm here today. I'd rather be here and look at y'all than go in.
When are you planning to do them in Shreveport?
We are going to this first one, as I said, is going on in Lake Charles. We're going to look and see, you know, what works, what we need to refine. We're going to be doing them. I don't have a schedule that I can tell you, but we are going to be continuing this process. We've gotten some good reviews from it already. And we will be in Shreveport. We'll be in Monroe, West Monroe. We'll do Alexandria, Natchitoches. I mean, we're going to be around the state so that people don't have to feel compelled to come to Baton Rouge to have That's their government work idea. For them.
Or try to get through on the stage behind chicken wire, though.
We asked before the break, what else needs to be done legislatively that you're going to present to lawmakers in the spring to keep the momentum of our rates going down moving forward?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, I'm really thankful to the legislature for last year's session and this year's session, the momentum that we've gained. I think we've done more reform in the last 2 years than we have in the last 20 as far as insurance reform. The legislature is hyper-focused on it because the people of Louisiana are hyper-focused on it. I mean, we're still in a crisis. We still have an affordability issue in our state. We still have an availability issue, and certainly in South Louisiana on property insurance. And so we got some good legislation passed this year in 2025, that was focused really on legal reform, primarily in the auto sector. We still need more because while I mentioned earlier, we've got rates coming down for private passenger auto, commercial trucking is still going up. You know, the companies that write that line of business are still paying out. I think this year, the last year's loss ratio was 136%. So that means for every dollar of premium that they took in, they paid out $1.36.
Is that a nationwide problem or a Louisiana problem?
It is a Louisiana problem specific. Other states have affordable loss ratios. Louisiana, we have a problem. We talked about this. You know, I think we talked about this on your show before. In Louisiana, we don't have a problem with the number of accidents. We don't have a frequency problem. Mm-hmm. We get in the same number of accidents about the national average. We don't have a problem, you know, look, not everybody in the state drives Ferraris. So, and when we do get in a wreck, our Ford F-150 doesn't cost more to repair here than if you go to Texas. 10 miles to the west in Texas, the cost is still the same to repair. So it's not more expensive. It's when we get in that accident, we file twice the number of bodily injury claims, and we litigate three times the national average. That's the problem in Louisiana. We need to disincentivize the abuse of the system. That's the legislation that was passed before. We are going to continue. And Aaron, I'm not sidestepping your question. We don't have the list of bills that we want to bring next year. We're working on that.
Is it lawyers abusing the system or is it the policyholders abusing the system?
Well, look, it starts, you know, the phones don't ring automatically like that. They don't call automatically yet. Right. And so it takes us to do the action. Mm-hmm. But again, what drives that action? And, you know, we were talking a little bit about, the technology in cars.
Sure.
Track your car, you know, your speed and your driving and braking. It's behavior. It's learned behavior. Mm. And why have we learned behavior? There's arguments on the advertising issue. We can't stop advertising, and I'm never going to say that we should stop advertising because we can't. That we still live in a free country, and that is it's a First Amendment right. But we need to disincentivize a system that rewards people for filing claims that sometimes aren't just. They didn't have the bodily injury. They don't need...
People jumping on the bus after the accident.
Well said.
We were talking off mic a little bit earlier. Like my wife's car, she's got a much newer car than my 2012 pickup truck. If she's driving down the interstate, and this personally, no pun intended, drives me nuts. If I want to change lanes, I have to use my turn signal. Otherwise, the car will fight me.
Yes.
And stay in the lane. No, you idiot. And I go, okay, turn on the, or I'll. Mm-hmm. technology like this, all of these sensors and these and not really self-driving, but self-assisting drive assist vehicles, are they helping lower cost in seeing these lower, fewer claims like you mentioned a minute ago?
Yeah. Anecdotally, I'll say yes, because I don't have the hard data, and I need to look at the National Highway Safety Institute to see. But I would think that that type of technology prevents those minor, you know, collisions like that, mm-hmm. the ones where you do more like the fender bender.
You're not going to drive into somebody on the interstate in the other lane.
Or even like, you know, vehicles now have that auto brake. If you start to roll up to a car, they'll either apply the brake, they'll alert you, or both. That should help stop some of these minor accidents. It's kind of like in the work comp industry. Over the years, we have seen, and look, rates have gone down in the work comp industry, I think 19 consecutive years. But in the work comp space, there are fewer minor injuries because of just general safety practices and technology and whatnot. But when you do get injured, it tends to be more severe. So I think that maybe that might be a potential trend on the auto. You won't see as many small fender benders. I'll call them fender benders. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it's going to be when cars do get in accidents, it might be more serious because of, you know, technology helping prevent.
Our last minute here. Do we still in Louisiana have an uninsured motorist problem?
Look, you know, that comes up a lot, Aaron. And the numbers I see constantly say that we do not. We are at the national average. We're actually below the national average.
Really?
Of uninsured motorists. Now, look, there are certainly some areas of the state. I believe New Orleans is one that has a higher, you know, in our state specifically, it's higher there than the average for the state. But Louisiana has, we're at the national average of uninsured motorists. Where we are an outlier is underinsured. Okay. 40% of the vehicles on the road carry minimum limits. Mm-hmm. And what that means, Aaron, is that if I get in a wreck with you and I cause the accident, your car needs to be repaired. My insurance company pays for it. If I'm carrying minimum limits and it doesn't cover the amount
Bentley?
Yes. Then your insurance has to pay for it.
Oh,
so the underinsured motorist portion of your premium is higher.
Wow.
That's part of the drivers, the driver of the cost. It's we have, and look, when you're paying as much as we are in premiums, if we were to raise minimum limits, then I think the uninsured motorist rate would go up.
Catch
people would say,
I can't.
Right. So we got to do better. At some point in time, we do need to raise minimum limits, but certainly now is not the time.
Let us know when the pop-ups are coming up so we can get the word out. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Glad
really
to be
good.
Here in Shreveport, and y'all
up.
Have a great Christmas.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Commissioner of Insurance, Tim Temple, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, real quick, comment on the Shreveport Security Systems message board following up on with Tim Temple. You'll never stop people from suing when ads and billboards screen the hundreds of thousands of dollars they got their clients.
Good point.
That's what I made.
Mm-hmm.
Moon Griffon joining us in studio right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Moon Griffon in town doing, he's going to be doing his show live from our building, not in this studio, but from one of our studios here in the building. And he just ran down to check with the engineer real quick to make sure all of his stuff is going to be up and running.
He'll be coming back in here. He was at the Republican Women of Bossier, I forget the official name, last night at Silver Star. And Mike, the crowd there last night,
I heard they had to bring in tables.
Table after table had to be hauled in. Now, Moon did bring some gifts, some Cane River pecans, and so he was doing some little door prizes and stuff. But he is so funny. If you listen to his show regular, you know he's a very humorous guy. But in person, he has crowds just rolling. He's really, really a good guy. And he's got a different take on a lot of these political things that happen in Louisiana.
Now, he's not like Red Fox, that was on TV one way, and then you hear him.
Oh no!
You hear him live, and it's like, whoa!
No, exactly no, right.
I know
he is.
I'm just kidding.
He. You know, I say, and we'll pretend like he's not sitting here in the room for a moment. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or you're a no party person, and you're doing the right thing, he's going to attaboy you. But if you're one of the same three and you're a screw up,
right?
He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what party you belong. He's going to say you're a screw up.
Well, and Moon, good morning.
Hey, y'all, who y'all talking about now? I got a bad feeling about this. Anyway, how y'all doing? Y'all look great.
We're good.
You've been one of the harshest critics of Republicans for years.
You know, it's kind of funny. If you talk to Democrats, they really probably like me. Well, no, and what I mean that is that I pick on him a little less. And the reason for that, I'm going to tell you what. People, they may not like a liar, but mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what people hate. They hate a hypocrite. And I think sometimes Republicans, mm-hmm. we talk the good game and then don't do the good game.
Right.
And so, you know, Aaron, I left the Republican Party because I was so frustrated with people that got elected. Not people in the party, but people that got elected. I just think that, you know, when you talk it, if you would do it, it would make a difference. And Democrats really never talk about anything that makes a lot of sense in building the country back and making the state
better.
Well,
especially not lately. It's all TDS. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so I think y'all hit me on the head when you say about the Democrat and Republic. The good thing is I can talk to any of them.
Right.
I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron, you hit it on the head when you do stuff that we know is not right, and then you lie about it and stretch the truth. That's the kind of things that have frustrated me for 30-some years.
I've always wanted to ask you this, so I'm going to do it today.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you come up with your nicknames? I'll start with, locally, we've got Bananas Foster. We're talking Foster Campbell.
Can I be honest with you? It just flows.
So how long?
Bill Cassidy?
Psycho Bill. Because, well, he was Trump, and he was anti-Trump. Now he's pro-Trump. And he takes a position over here, and he takes it over here, and he takes it over here, and that's psycho to me. That's, you don't know what the hell you
want. And let me just throw you on the spot. Yeah. Do you think he's got a chance?
No, I don't. I think he's in deep trouble. Every poll number I've seen got him into 29 on the high, 22 on the low.
Okay.
So now you got to remember this. Now you say, well, Moon, he's leading it. If you look at everybody else, he's leading it. He's a two-term incumbent United States senator with all more money than God probably has. And you're sitting in the 20s? That's horrible. That means 75% of the people are rejecting you. That's what that means. And they're going to pick another candidate. And that's, I don't see how he has a chance.
Who do you see as the strongest?
Well,
contender?
Right now, Fleming is definitely the strongest. If you look at pure numbers,
mm-hmm.
Blake Miguez is working hard. I mean, you know, one of the problems in this race, and I hate to say this because I'll probably get ripped. Julia Letlow is a problem. Because Julia Letlow really wants it. But Julia Letlow, who's really about it, I don't know her, but I knew her husband, Luke. Julia Letlow was given a congressional seat.
Right.
Given to her because her husband died. Now, look, that's not a cut on her. She's a smart lady.
Sure.
She's a really nice person. That's not a cut at all. Everybody rallied to get it. So she never had to run for an election. So what they're trying to do behind the scenes is get Trump to endorse her. She's a sitting congressman.
Mm.
She's got money. Okay.
Right.
She would be a very good candidate. Okay, but here's the problem. She don't want to lose what she has.
Right.
She has a really good seat in the House seat. So, but they're going to give it a Senate race. She'll take it. So
let me
she
ask stopped you one
raising
thing.
Money with other people because they don't know if she's going to get in or not.
One last thing before we got to let you go
yes,
get
ma'am.
Your show on the air. Your buddy John Bel Edwards says he's not in that race. Will the Democrats put a viable candidate in that race? Because that would mean that the Republicans are only going to have one in the runoff because there's so many of them.
Well, to be honest with you, the Republicans don't have one in the runoff anyway. And because of the way it's set up, y'all remember with closed primaries, we're going to pick a Republican and Democrat
in the spring.
And so on the ballot in the fall, it's one Republican, one Democrat.
Gotcha.
Now you can have Green Party, New Party, whatever.
Right.
But that's going to be it. So I don't know who they're going to put up.
Yeah.
Who's going to put up the money? If they don't believe they can win that, the National Democrats ain't coming.
Yeah.
Moon Griffon, you'll hear him coming up in about 12 minutes
right here.
101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back with more Marty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We were talking a little bit earlier this hour about LSU is actually paying three head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know about Brian Kelly.
Yep.
They're still paying Ed Orgeron, apparently.
Yes.
Who's on the beach.
With babes. And now Lane Kiffin.
And now Lane Kiffin is come in.
And do you know we have to pay Lane Kiffin for Ole Miss wins?
I heard that. They have to pay him what he would have made as they progress through the playoffs and maybe a national championship.
Mm-hmm. If they win round one, LSU has to pay him $150,000. $200,000.
That's change lost in the dryer for them.
Yeah, you got a point. $250,000 for quarterfinal, $500,000 for a semifinal. He'll get $750,000 for the championship game, and a cool mill if they win the title. paid for by LSU.
$1 million if Ole Miss wins the national title.
Wow. Does that happen?
I don't think it happens. No chance. I don't think anybody's going through Ohio State this year.
I don't think they will. I think Ohio State is a repeat. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But I think they repeat. They're strong.
Michigan found out.
They went into
Michigan.
Yeah.
And said, shut up. You.
Bench.
Being in charge.
Yeah, they taught them real quick that you're not going to win again. This ain't your year. I like the class, and I know some of our friends in the building will like this. I like the class that Ohio State won with.
Ryan Day at the press conference said, no, look, we're very happy with the win, but you know what? We're going to win with quiet humility.
Yes.
Absolutely. Good for you.
Absolutely. And we'll know Sunday is when we'll know how everything shapes out. I mean, you know, Tulane, believe it or not, has actually a chance to get in the football playoff.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. My favorite comment from a press conference lately from any head coach was when, and I can't believe I'm saying this, a positive about Lane Kiffin, but when Lane Kiffin said, when they drove me by Tiger Stadium, it was lit up coming from the airport. He said, I called my friend Ed Orgeron. I said, man, I just want to start talking like you.
Yes.
I want to start talking like Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
I rolled down the window and said, go Tigers.
Right.
To LSU fans.
I know. So cool. So cool. I don't say,
we're one big happy family.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Brian Kelly, I don't know if he was trying to fit in when he first got down here.
I know that was not good.
Fake just accent.
Come do on. Not want to be Lane Kiffin when you have to go to Oxford next year to play Ole Miss, and you got to run out that tunnel with the Tigers.
With the Tigers.
Oh, that's going to be unpleasant for him.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.